Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at theqfilmcast.net. Just click the link in the upper right-hand corner and choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's Audible.com.
Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that. Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If it's our first time together, let me tell you what we do. We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That along with our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So, what movie is that? Well, let me tell you. This week in the queue, it's the 1987, what the hell happened to my Huxtable? Horror noir. God, I like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
Angel Heart, starring Mickey Rourke, Robert De Niro, and Lisa Bonet. So unless you have a thing about chickens, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree with our take. Or if you haven't seen it, just keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. So there you go. That's the way the game is played. Once again, I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know, everything's all right. Woke up, knew exactly who I was.
Good.
Yeah, didn't have to scream it in a mirror.
Good.
Yeah, I am the boy. Right. Little nod to the film. I always throw something
Did you have a hard-boiled egg?
You know what? That is, some. You know, some religions, that's considered the soul.
I did not know that.
I did. I learned it from Angel Heart.
Yeah. Well, let's just go ahead and introduce you now, Gumbo Johnson. Max Gumbo Johnson. Sitting across from me over there.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, your name is perfectly placed tonight.
Why is that?
Because I have some real intense gumbo questions to ask you.
You can ask me anything you want to know about gumbo.
Yeah, you're gonna.
You got a new ingredient for your gumbo?
Oh, there is. There is.
Not based on this film.
Yeah. Let's round that out in a second. We got a path to go down for there. Look at Hoodie. Matthew Saint Hoodie,
patron saint
of quality outerwear. Although, you know, in certain parts of the country, outerwear is not really needed. You get big pit stains.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like beige jackets.
Yeah.
Things like that.
You know, in some cultures, outerwear is considered a keeper of the soul.
Some cultures.
You some just call cultures. Me an egg?
Yeah.
Basically.
Kind of.
What came first?
The deviled egg.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I was going to work that in later. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Perfectly placed, though. I liked it.
Right.
Man, that's good. And who you listening to over there? That's our producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Bonjour.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Nice to see you. All right, guys, let's get into this one, Angel Heart, 1987. But before we do that, let's talk about how to keep up with us any way you want, really. I'm talking Google. It's there. Just Google it. You'll find the Q Filmcast, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, Google+. But you know what I recommend?
What?
It doesn't matter which way you want to go. You should go here first, and that is the QFilmcast.net. That's our website. You go there. Tell us what you think of this show or any other show that we've reviewed. Give us your thoughts. Let us know how we're doing. Feedback. We love that. So theqfilmcast.net. You guys ready to queue up the conversation?
Yeah.
Sure.
What do you say there, producer?
Let's do it.
He says, let's do it. I say, oh, Lord. Let's talk about the film. Angel Heart, 1987. I might need some help with this. Written by William Hortzberg. Hortzberg is how you say it.
That's how I've always said
it. You read the book, didn't you?
I did read the book.
Oh, man, this is a pretty popular book, too. A lot of people love this book.
Called Falling Angel.
Falling Angel. A lot of people said this film did it justice. Some people said it didn't. I think a lot of people said it did so. I know it was. I wouldn't say loosely based on the book, but they took some different turns.
Specifically based on the book.
They're saying that it's actually pretty close to the book.
It's pretty close to the book.
Very faithful.
Okay, it is, but there's one major turn that they put in there, and that's location, geography.
Yeah, the location was.
I was going to say Lisa Bonet.
Yeah.
She was in the book. She came with the book. That was awesome. That's why I bought it. It's like, whoa, it comes with Lisa Bonet.
Did you read the book after you watched the film?
Yes. I still have it somewhere.
I'm going to have to borrow that from you. Let's talk about who directed this film. That's Alan Parker. Anybody know who he is?
He had a project, right?
Huh?
No. Alan Parker. Bunch of
stuff. Alan Parker. That's Alan Parsons.
Oh, that's right.
I was wrong, too.
Oh, you tried. You really tried.
Tried.
He tried to thread the needle. Alan Parker, man. Pink Floyd, The Wall, Midnight Express, Mississippi Burning, Angela's Asses.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that the porno version of Angela's Ashes?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Angela's Ashes. Let me.
Right.
Allow me to retort. Evita, and then The Life of David Gale. Anybody see this film?
I've not seen that.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, surprising. I thought, okay, I heard this is okay. Good movie.
Spacey, right?
And Fame.
Did he do Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, he did do Fame. That's right.
I like Fame.
But for me, he's famous for this film and The Life of David Gale. Two really good films.
Midnight Express.
And of course, Midnight Express, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Are you telling me to hurry up?
No, I'm saying, come on. That's what he's. That's like
the best movie on the list, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I know.
I concur.
Thought that was.
I don't know about that.
Yep.
It's the biggest one.
We're talking about Angel Heart, though. This one here stars Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet. This is right in the height of the Huxtable era. So this was quite a shocker for a lot of people. Yeah, Robert De Niro.
Especially Bill.
Yeah, Bill.
Maybe not.
Yeah, he about choked on his Jell-O pudding pop, I'm sure. Robert De Niro. And as all these films do, they inspire a top three. This is no different.
Right.
Angel Heart in 1987. This inspired a top three movie. I'm going to say Lucifer's. You guys can say devils or devilish characters. What do you want to go with?
Devils.
Devils.
Devils slash demons.
Right.
Top three devils.
Not the
slash
devil,
demons.
But definitely a devil.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can choose the devil if you choose the devil.
He's got a point.
I like that wiggle room because that was very definitive, as this is Satan. But I like your way. Let's go with devilish characters. Top three movie devils.
Okay.
We will get into what we gave this film. But first thing we're going to do is talk about what the critics thought. IMDb, 7.4. What do you think of that, Hoodie?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, why not? Why would you have a problem with that?
I'm not rocking that boat.
You want to take a stab at what the critics from Rotten Tomatoes said, Max?
Me?
Yeah, what do you think?
8.2.
76.
A 78, man, but that's
close.
It's always so good at that.
Last time I overbid, though, so I win this time.
Boop, 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 boop. Boink. Savage, what do you think of the users? What do you think the users gave this film?
I can see your notes.
Oh, 82%. Sorry. It's pretty fresh. Adam, you've been on the internet all day. I'm sure you did. I didn't ask you. I figured you already knew. You would have given the right answer. I didn't want to hear you.
Okay.
You
right.
I didn't want to hear you.
Yeah. All right, let's get into a synopsis of this film, and then we'll come back after a trailer. We'll tell you what we thought. Angel Heart, 1987, and here's what you have. It's 1955. It's New York City. And small-time gumshoe Harry Angel gets a new client, a mysterious man named Louis Cyphier, who tells Harry that choosing him as a private investigator for this case was no accident, despite Harry not knowing who Cyphier is, or in turn, Cyphier not directly stating why he even chose Harry. The case is to locate a man by the name of Johnny Favorite, a popular singer before World War II, who has apparently reneged on a rather large debt owed to Cyphier. The only clue given to Angel is that he served in the war and supposedly was institutionalized due to injuries and amnesia. As Harry progresses through the case, riddles beget riddles. Each turn takes a more ominous form. Harry soon finds himself in New Orleans, where he learns that the man he seeks and all who knew him are linked together through shadowy mysticism and voodoo. As Harry continues his investigation, one by one, the people he interviews turn up dead. Although Harry isn't sure if he wants to continue with the case, he does so if only to satisfy his own curiosity as to Johnny's whereabouts and why Cyphier wanted to find him in the first place. As he gets closer to the answers, Harry Angel begins to understand that his role in search may lead to places that are much closer than he dares to believe.
Ooh.
Terrifying, frightening. Yeah. Cue the gumbo. Here's a trailer.
Do you know what today is? Today is Wednesday. Is anything can happen today? My interest in Johnny is only in finding out if he's alive or if he's dead. You want me to check it out?
Check it out.
Who are you? I'm just a guy who was paid to snoop around. I'm going to ask you again. Where is he? I don't know.
Harry Angel has been hired to solve more than a mystery.
He's dead, Mr. Angel. And if he isn't, he is to me.
Are you afraid?
Yeah, I'm afraid.
To find more than a killer.
We don't go around murdering people, all right, Mr. Angel?
Prince of Darkness protects the powerful.
And it may cost him more than his life.
All I know is Johnny's running around bumping off everyone he used to know. And more it's me who's on the line for it.
Johnny Favorite was as close to true evil as she ever wanted to come.
There's death everywhere these days. You killed him. And you're trying to pin it on me. The flesh is weak. Only the soul is immortal. Did you kill him?
I got who I am.
You gotta burn for this, Angel.
In hell, hell, hell.
Every angel has been hired to search for the truth. Pray he doesn't find it. Angel Heart.
Okay, so there you are. There's a trailer from the 1987 film that we're talking about tonight. Angel Heart, from director Alan Parker, starring Mickey Rourke. As we do with all films, let's talk about some facts. A little bit of did you know?
Did you know?
About this film. There's a little bit of did you know. Max, you have a whole list of did you know.
They're good, too. All of them.
Yeah, got a quality list. Alan Parker, the director of this film, claims that Robert De Niro's performance as Louis Saphir was so eerie and realistic that he generally avoided him during his scenes, letting him just direct himself.
Hmm. What a baby.
He was all scared. That's funny, actually. Robert De Niro's performance is an impersonation of Martin Scorsese. Producer, what do you think of that?
Why not?
Yeah, sure. You want to hear my impersonation of producer?
Why not?
Why not? Sorry, you queued that up. You put it right there on the tee for me. Check this out, Gumbo.
Uh-huh.
When Louis Saphir blows salt from his egg onto the restaurant table, Harry Angel takes a pinch and throws it over his left shoulder. Do you know why?
Luck.
Because that by doing so, you blind the devil or your
Thank
evil
you.
Angel.
Thank you very,
Which
very much.
Which is in turn pretty lucky.
Yeah. I was just going to say superstitious, but Max Gumbo Johnson took it a bit further.
He knows how to cook
blind
gumbo.
The devil.
Yeah. That's how you solve it. You throw it over your shoulder into the gumbo.
He's got some voodoo in him.
Did you know that Marlon Brando was briefly considered for the role of Louis Saphir?
Thank God he wasn't.
How would that have worked?
That would have been great. What are you talking about?
No, he was still good in 87.
Yeah. I like De Niro. I'm a De Niro guy.
Potato, potato. He'd have been good. He would have done a good job.
Yeah. I mean, he played the
Not
devil
Not to take
in
anything away
now.
From Robert, but it would have been.
Yeah. No, he's no Bob.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. Marlon Brando. Check this out. When producer Alan Marshall first approached Robert De Niro by phone about taking part in the film, De Niro asked, "Hey, are you the guy who produced Birdie?"
What?
I don't know, but when Marshall replied that he was, De Niro promptly hung up. So what's that supposed to mean? That's all they give me with that fact, too. I have no idea what to do with this.
The movie,
I guess he didn't like Birdie.
I guess he hated Birdie, or he hated the guy that produced it.
Or he got turned down from a job or something.
Someone apologized for something because he's back on set.
Right.
Max, you read the book. Did you know that in the novel, the entire story was set in New York, as we talked about before?
Yep.
In the movie, much of the action of the film occurs in New Orleans. The change was suggested by Alan Parker. To Alan Parker, I'm sorry, by William Hertzberg himself.
Yeah.
What do you got for facts and figures, Max? You had a few more? Anything else?
Oh, I didn't mark any.
Nah, heck with it. Let's get it going.
I'll tell you.
What?
I know this for a fact.
What is
I
it?
Was there. Those little houses where Epiphany and them lived.
Yeah.
Those are real little houses.
You lived in one of them, didn't you?
Back in the cane fields in Napoleonville. I went to them.
Napoleonville. So you can pin down the neighborhood.
I know exactly where they are. I can take you right to them.
Let's go there.
Were they functional houses then? I mean, were they still utilized by migrant labor?
No, there's no migrant labor.
Jeez Louise. Max, you are, when it comes to gumbo, when it comes to New Orleans, you are a man on the street. Currency. Let's talk about that because, you know, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here.
No.
That's stupid.
It's dumb.
Dumb. You know why? Because we let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. Tonight, we're going to use 1 through 10. I forgot what it was.
Hard-boiled eggs.
I think we should use pinches of salt at this point. Because
What do you want to do? We can.
I'm a little scared at this.
You know what? We may need to blind the devil. I think we go pinches of salt.
Okay.
All pinches of salt.
There it is.
Wow, pinches? You guys are easy.
Changing on the fly.
Went to the dentist. My mouth isn't working yet.
Ooh. Pinches of salt. There you go. Over the left shoulder. And when you tell it, you throw it over your left shoulder, please.
Left.
Let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. Speaking of gumbo, I don't know how you get gumbo, but dead white guy in gumbo, fantastic. I love it the way my mom used
it's
to make it.
It's the other white meat.
Yeah, a little bit of dead white guy in my gumbo, fantastic.
Yankee.
Yeah. And non-Yankee, actually, believe me. All right, Max, to you I go. 1 through 10, pinches of salt over the left shoulder. Angel Heart, 1987, what are you going with?
I'm going to go 8 pinches of salt over the left shoulder.
8 pinches of salt.
I really, really like this movie. I've always liked this movie. I've seen it many times.
It has an interesting rhythm, no doubt about it.
It ages well.
You said it does age well. 1 through 10, Pinches of Salt, Angel Heart, 1987. Throw it over the left shoulder. How many?
Over the left shoulder, I'll go 7. I didn't know anything about this film. For some reason, I was confusing it with 9.5 Weeks. You know, it was the same.
Wow.
No, it wasn't. But it's the same Mickey Rourke era, you know, before he was weird looking.
Yeah, okay.
And I knew Lisa Bonet was associated with it, but I thought it was going to be the same thing. I didn't know it was a period piece. I didn't know that it was a noir piece.
You knew it was sinister.
Well, I knew that it was reported to be hypersexual because Mickey Rourke went through that phase of his career, like in the late 80s up to 90 or something, where he was the hot guy on campus or whatever. Yeah, it was a surprise what this film was.
Yeah, it's a different burn.
Yeah, it really is.
Whether you like it or hate it, it does some different things. That's the way I see it.
You were looking forward to the refrigerator scene with him, the Rourke and De Niro, right?
Yeah, that's what it is, in the butter. And
eating eggs.
Right.
That's funny to me. I just pictured that straight into my head. Or it could have been Brando. That would have been really terrifying.
Yeah.
Matthew St. Hoodie, to you I go. 1 through 10, Pinches of Salt.
I'm between a 6 and a 7. I'm going to go 7 now, but it's teetering.
Teetering. Teeter the right way, okay? 7. 7 Pinches of Salt. Adam, load them up.
Obviously, I already shocked everyone with my throwing it out there. I love this film. Giving it a 9.
All right.
Going 9, Pinches of Salt. That leaves it to me. I queued this thing up. I'm going to go 9. This film, I went and seen this in the theater in 87 because everybody said it was shocking. And I walked in there with my popcorn. I'm going to see some Lisa Bonet funk, okay?
Right.
But what I left with was, man, I really like movies now. It was one of those films that's like, I love movies now. This is one of the films that made me do that. It's always aged well for me. So I'm going to keep it at a 9. I'm going to keep it at a special event for me.
Cool.
All right. So there you go.
That's 40, what we think of this. 40 pinches of salt.
Yeah. That's a lot of sodium.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
You should probably be a little healthier than that.
Well, it could be sea salt.
It's still salt. Still salt.
How about this salt substitute? Can I at least use my salt substitute?
Nope.
Because I'm trying to watch
the devil
my
will
blood pressure.
Scoff at your salt substitute.
Well, I'm going to go with salt substitute because I'm trying to watch my blood pressure.
You can't blind the devil with salt substitute.
Maybe you can't. Didn't think about that.
Now, Mrs. Dash. Devil hates
Mrs. Dash, right.
Devil hates Mrs. Dash.
Well, I'm going to dash on over to this Mrs. over here, and that's Max Gumbo Johnson. He's going to get into this film just a bit. You went 8 dashes of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about basically why.
Well, I've always gravitated towards, you know, sort of macabre kind of stuff and darker pieces. And of course, the controversy about this movie, you know, because of the Lisa Bonet thing, and it was an X, and then they cut 10 seconds out to give an R or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that was the first thing that gets you all interested. You're like, okay, I got to see what's so terrible about this thing. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, actually.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, that's part of what gets you interested in it.
Yeah. It wants, you know, it kind of gets you curious about it.
It's the hook.
Yeah, sort of. But then, you know, I saw it and I was like, wow, I really, really enjoyed this movie. I didn't find anything deep or earth-shattering or life-changing about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of in the same boat with you. This is one of the early impressions of a movie where I was like, wow, this is something a little bit different. And it was, you know, I can't think of any, unless somebody else knows one of sort of a noir gumshoe movie that's
Devil in a Blue Dress.
Horror. No, that's not.
That's not the one I'm thinking of. I'll get back to you. Yeah, I'll get back to you. There's one I'm thinking of, though.
I thought it was pretty original in that in that context. I like the overall look of the movie. I like the way it was filmed. It was dark. There was a lot going on. And the surprise, I was genuinely surprised at the end of the movie when you find out, you know, the twist. So I really liked all the elements of the film. The thing that keep it from going a little higher was it did get a bit confusing there at the end. And there was a little bit of a plot hole, I thought. But other than that, you know, it didn't take that much away from it for me. Yeah. So I'm going with an 8. I really like this movie. I've always liked this movie.
Yeah, me as well. We'll talk about some of the scenes, too, and we'll dig into that plot hole, see what we can come up with. I think we went over to a Hard Sub Savage.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Tell me what your impression is of this film and why you got there.
Okay. First impression, the first time seeing the film, again, ignorant, completely going into it, had it confused in my mind what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be a period piece, a very well done period piece too.
Yeah.
You know, the 50s noir, and I think you said horror noir or modern noir or whatever.
Yeah.
Parker really pulled it off. I mean, the use of shadows is tough to pull off in color. It's much easier to do in black and white when you're dealing with just contrast. He pulled it off.
Yeah.
The tone of the thing was somber enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lay the mystery on top of it. And,
yeah.
You know, when Cypher is introduced and it's, you know, Harry Angel, and you mm-hmm. kind of understand, okay, this guy's the devil, and you kind of understand what he wants him to look for.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really neat. I thought the amnesia thing was a neat twist in the mystery. It's like, oh, if somebody gave up their soul and then they got amnesia, do you still have to pay? I thought it was a cool twist,
right.
You know? And then, you know, the mystery, the pursuing of the mystery was really well done. And I think the reason why I went to New Orleans from Harlem is because it was wintertime or it was cold and they're wearing overcoats. And you don't want Lisa Bonet in an overcoat.
No, you don't.
You know, no. You want her in something as light and as thin as you can get. And
didn't consider, but right. Okay. Okay.
Right. And, you know, I spent a lot of my childhood in Southern Louisiana as well. So that those scenes and those people are familiar to me as well.
Yeah. And you know what Parker said to me? He said, this was the film I threw myself into more than any of my other films. I wanted the details to work. I wanted you to look past the characters through the set into the surroundings and get the sense that you were there.
Yeah.
He says, I put so much effort into that part of this film alone. And you felt like that was pretty well done?
No, the mystery of it was really well done. The technical aspect, it's a good-looking film, and it's a well-crafted film.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mickey Rourke was really good. I don't know what happened to Mickey Rourke in the early 90s or something. Whatever happened to him? He just dropped off and got weird and big. And
he did. He got weird and homeless. Drugs. And he also got into boxing. Right. And now he's Marv, man, so he's back.
Yeah, you know, he came back, but he looks all weird now, but he was a really good actor back in the day, man. I mean, he was really good. He had just enough menace. He had just enough intimidation. He really pulled it off. And then at the twist at the end, I did not see it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, they dangled out in front of you, and in hindsight, you're like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a plot hole with, I don't know if it's the same plot hole Max was talking about.
Oh, no,
with,
I hope it is. I don't want a bunch of plot holes. Right. Oh, this movie sucked.
Right. No, but it seems like when Cypher hired him, and you understand who Cypher is.
Right.
He should have known, you know, the devil don't need to hire a private investigator.
You know,
I don't think he knew at that point.
No,
what, the devil knew? Of course he did. Come on.
Of course he did.
But you know what I think? And a lot of people mention this. Right. I just think that it just shows his mischievous side.
Absolutely.
He wanted to like put this guy in it like a rat in a cage and just watch him figure it out on his own.
And poke him with it. Yeah,
poke him with it. He was having fun. It was mischievous. Yeah. I don't think he had to do this. I think he enjoyed it.
No, yeah. No, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
So I may actually go up with this the more I think about it. I mean, it's a really well done film.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's go over to Hoodie.
For the most part, I pretty much agree with James. Didn't enjoy the ending as much as you guys seem to have enjoyed it. That's kind of why I'm teetering between a 6 and a 7.
What did you want from the ending?
More of an unwinding point. I mean, just a little bit more.
It did seem to
like
here
stopped.
We go.
Yeah, it's just like, there's a twist. Credits. So maybe a little bit more reaction from either of them. Maybe some. I don't know. I can't think. Anyway, as far as it being a period piece, I thought everybody did a really good job except for Rourke. And he looked straight out of the 80s.
Oh,
straight
man. Out of the 1980s. Are you serious?
His hair was spiked straight up.
Oh, I thought he was gumshoe 50s all the way, sweating. Man.
No, he was straight out of the 80s.
I love that character
he even had,
here.
Everything he had was a... And he'd be wearing his tie up to like, you know, way above his belly button if it was in the 50s too. He had it below the belt.
I don't know,
he
man.
Was straight out of the 80s. This and that kind of threw me out of it every time right. I looked at
I'll
him.
Get to that because...
Well, cut me off then.
I have some for that.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, sorry.
Cut
I'm
me good. Off like a tie.
Cut me off like an 80s
yeah,
tie.
Yeah, but I mean, his pants would have been hiked up. A lot more, not as baggy.
Did you want Fred Mertz in this role? What the hell did you want?
I thought about that too, that he couldn't have been, you know, as cool as he was in this movie if he was trying to be the 50s guy. But then I was like, well, you know what? A good actor probably could have. He's not bad. I like him way better now than I did back then.
Okay. Who did you sell your soul to? You must have sold Brando. Your soul.
Marla
did you really?
Brando.
All right, man. Who are we going to now? 1987, Angel Heart. We know you love the film. Come on. The cat is out of the bag. The gumbo's out the bowl. The chickens out of the coop, man. Right. It's no
I'm
secret.
Of the chickens.
Yeah, I get a thing for chickens. Tell me why you like this film so much.
Actually, from just childhood, it was the first movie I ever saw that it was a puzzle to me, and I loved trying to figure out this as a puzzle. But as a kid, I actually figured out that De Niro was the devil at the beginning because of the name.
Really, you got that?
Yeah, really quick.
Mm-hmm. I guess it wouldn't be too hard.
I was
hard.
Big into the occult.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, I didn't. I was trying to anagram it and everything.
I guessed it pretty quick. And
at the end, it was like, no!
and the nails go away really quick.
I was the same way, too. I didn't catch the Louis Cipher. Nice, nice. Plus, Harry Angel, too, conveniently.
I just said, well, that's a stupid name. I could have come up with a way better name than that.
All right, let me tell you what I thought of this film. What works about this film? I think everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it just all worked for me. I mean, the acting. To me, you were talking a little bit about Rourke. I think he strolls through this thing with such charisma, spot-on delivery. I think it's a graceful, powerful performance. I mean, when I first saw this, I thought, man, that's the first performance I truly loved. And it's my favorite performance at that time, 1987, late 80s, whatever you want to call it, that era. You know, but the same goes for everyone here. I don't know. Maybe it's something in the Dirty Rice or the Soul Food in Harlem.
Right.
But
New Orleans.
Yeah, and it holds up like that, too, because every exchange between the characters, you know, it just seems to be effortless. Right? Even scenes that were like a bridge, like Rourke's scene with the nurse at the hospital. Yeah. It's fantastic. This thing just purred for me. It was almost like The American, where I was just waiting endlessly for the thing to just give me more and more and more. So that's where it starts for me, man, the performances. And then there's the film craft, Alan Parker.
Yeah.
You know a director resonates with you when you remember his name and you look for it again. And that's what he does for me, because I sought out David Gale when it came out. Okay, there's a film with Kevin Spacey. Wait a minute. Alan Parker directed this thing? I'm going Friday when it opens.
What happened to the guy?
Alan Parker.
He's still making stuff, right?
He made something. Get on that, producer.
It's like 2011.
Yeah, but Alan Parker. Not Alan Parker.
No, he hasn't done anything since 2003 with The Life of David
Gale. Life of David Gale. I can't recommend that film enough, too. We may have to talk
and
about
he's
this.
He's still living, so maybe he's retired.
Well, you don't necessarily have to be alive to get stuff done. We learned that in this film.
Soderbergh retires.
This whole thing that I like about this film is that it takes these different roads, puts them down on the same path, and takes you for one, quote-unquote, hell of a ride. Right? The horror and war experiment. It's just perfectly placed, but that's exactly what it pulls off here. All the fine print it needed in order to do so falls in line perfectly like a puzzle. Like the score, the loose keys on the piano.
Yeah.
It just takes you from that essence, 1950s, gumshoe, that whole mentality, and then it goes into the crackling of the vinyl, and then it goes into the horns of Bourbon Street, and it just kind of just pulls you along like a thread in a sweater, you know? It all just punched above its weight. Really, this whole film just punched above its weight to me. And then there's the calling card, the sinister horror noir.
Yeah.
Right? That's very interesting. You don't see that often. I think you mentioned that as well.
Nope.
Totally sold me. Just rang out perfectly. To me, that's what I think of it.
So I didn't really pick up much of the horror stuff. You know, there was definitely a layer of menace in the thing.
Maybe that's a better word, menace.
You know, because horror just seems like a different genre to me. And, you know, maybe that's just me being... I don't know, traditional or whatever. I don't know. Or
suspense.
Yeah.
Maybe
suspense. No, it was definitely suspenseful. And there was genuine menace to it. I mean, the tone was set for that. But
how about supernatural noir?
Better.
Is that better?
Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. I just coined that. Well, boom.
Supernatural noir.
Super noir.
Yeah, horror does seem a little bit heavy-handed. It's not necessarily a horror film. You got to be careful throwing that word out there.
Yeah, it's not. And you don't want to give people the impression that this is a horror film, you know, because it may turn people off of it.
Well, no, but it does take that horror, you know, aspect at the end, especially with all the eyes looking at you, the baby looking and pointing.
That's pretty bad effects, too. Those did not hold up.
Oh, it was awful. It was just...
Yeah, that was the one part I hated about this whole entire film.
But you can't put that in any movie and not call it a horror, like straight-up horror. Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll do Supernatural.
It's not a slasher. It is a horror. It is a classic horror film.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting horror film. It's there. It's certainly wrapped up into this noir and into this gumshoe riddle.
Sure.
You know, follow the breadcrumb trail thing. But I tell you what, let's take a break here. Let's listen to a clip, a piece from the film we're talking about, 1987. Angel Heart, directed by Alan Parker. We'll come back, talk about some of these scenes, and tell you what we thought in detail. Here you go.
There was a picture of Johnny with a guy called Toot Sweet, a guitar player. No one's heard of him. Now, here's the juicy bit. He was engaged to a rich broad named Margaret Cruzmark. Dad Ethan owns half of Louisiana. Met Johnny at a high school prom in New Orleans. Oh, yeah. There's lots of spells.
Spells? Mm-hmm. What do you mean, spells? You mean like Iva Newt and Tova Frog?
Seems she was a bit of a crackpot, casting spells at society dues and stuff. Didn't go down too well with the Ivy League stiffos. Dad, you good?
Yeah, you did great. So what do I got? I got some kind of religious loony for a client. I gotta find Johnny Golden Tonsils. We don't know where he is. He probably doesn't know who he is. I got a geriatric band leader and a home in Harlem. I got a guitar player called Toot Sweet. What else I got?
Well,
Okay, so there you go. There's a clip, a piece from the film that we're talking about tonight, Angel Heart. We're going to go around the table. We're going to talk about a few scenes that stuck out to us that we think's worth merit, that we think is worth conversation.
Scene I would like to talk about.
That you want to get into.
I like the first meeting between Harry and Louis. Love that scene. And ironically, you mentioned a scene earlier that I thought was fantastic, where he goes to the hospital and has that big conversation with the nurse.
And he looks at her bum as she walks away.
Yeah. And then he's
that nurse. She looked familiar.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
She's that girl. She's been a lot of the nurse and Harry and Angel.
She looks just like Joan Cusack. Watch the film again.
I thought it was. I thought it was.
It's Kathleen Wilhite.
Oh, look at that. Producing on the fly.
Ooh.
I have pages pulled up.
But you know what's funny? I like movies where you remember things that really, you know, in the script and on paper, you're not supposed to, but the scene like that, yeah, it just sticks to me.
Yeah, I really, really like that scene in the hospital. And I don't know why. I guess he was just so charming in it, and that was his job. He was supposed to be there charming and saying, oh, look, I can get this information from this woman, and he pointed out the thing about the ballpoint pen.
Yep.
She was like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. He could have asked her to bed right there, and she would have gone.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, too, because he just got out of bed with someone else, too, by the way. But you got a sense that this guy understands how to manipulate, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
And he's good at it.
He knows what he's doing.
And he became interesting to me there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I thought he was an interesting character from the get-go. The other thing about the character, and this showed up in the when he met with De Niro, he's sort of, he came across almost as childlike.
Yeah.
He's very flummoxed. He was nervous. He didn't know what to say. He kept apologizing for saying his name wrong. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking, don't know. I don't know the name. Should I?
Why was he intimidated in that presence? Was he on some level aware that, okay, Dad caught me?
Yes.
I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar?
I think so.
I don't know if that's what it is. I think he just, he didn't know the circumstances of it. He was called by this guy, and then he's got to come in and meet this guy. And he didn't get any details. They wouldn't really tell him much, and they were real effusive with what they were doing. He said, whoa, would this guy skip out on you? And he goes, kind of. Yeah, they wouldn't really tell him what it was.
I don't like messy accounts.
Yeah, I don't like messy accounts.
Yeah.
I like every scene with him and De Niro.
Yeah, it's not many, though.
When they met in the restaurant.
It sounds like De Niro was a day player, right?
It was four.
It was four scenes.
Four scenes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the restaurant, the church, the initial meeting, and then the final meeting.
The final meeting, yeah. What about you, Savage? Let's talk about something you got to talk about.
When you start to know that this is a mystery, and then you put on your critical thinking hat, you're like, oh, okay, I gotta pay attention to things here. And I don't know if anybody else picked up. Whenever he would open a drawer, there'd be a gun. And he never had a gun, and he never used a gun. But there was always a weapon within his reach. And they always had that ring of skeleton keys. Anytime he was going through his stuff, there was always the ring of skeleton keys.
I didn't pick up on that.
And then when he locked the door for the doctor the first time, you know.
Fowler.
When he locked that door, and I thought, okay, this is how he collects his skeleton keys. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe there is something to that, because when you find out at the end what's going on.
One quick thing, too. Do you know that every weapon that was used to kill somebody, he had originally handled? Mm-hmm. It showed him handling it before it happened.
No, I didn't pick up on that at all. Didn't pick up on it.
Fowler's gun. The knife.
Sweet switchblade.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there was something I read somewhere that every time somebody dies, there was like there's a scene of a fan.
Yeah.
And then the fan would stop and then go backward.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick up on that, but if that's true, that's a neat little effect.
There's a lot of fans in the movie.
Yeah, well, the twist at the end completely caught me off guard. I didn't see it coming at all.
Right. When you say the twist, you mean the name reveal or like the actual twist?
No, the actual twist like, oh, this is what's going
on. Smashes the jar and then it's like, boom, there it is.
Yeah. No, I didn't see that coming at all. But there was a couple of things that kind of took me out. I don't know if our GTAs are what takes you out of the film, but the gumbo man, the father. Mm-hmm. That seemed a little rushed to me. It's like, okay, we had the ceremony and we did the boy. And I mean, it just, this whole expository stuff just spewed out right there.
There's that big collapse. It was like a big collapse, a house of cards falling down.
Yeah. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what it was supposed to be, but that just seemed forced to me. We're wrapping this up. Here we go. We're going in for the final stretch and you got to expose all this stuff.
And he had so many weapons to kill this guy with, and he used gumbo.
Well, no, and I want to get to that gumbo. Do you cook gumbo in giant pots like that?
You can, yeah.
I mean,
you're feeding a lot of people.
You're feeding a lot of
people. Wouldn't you rather have a giant vat rather than a small bowl? What's wrong with that? Don't nitpick this. That was the best part of the film. I was hungry.
That was a giant pot of gumbo.
Hey, can I mention the scene, though, real quick, though? That is one that, while we got to talk about, I was going to talk about that. That scene with the father, to me, when he's just tearing that ice apart. right? And he's just, and he completely comes unglued.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Angel, he loses it. Mm-hmm. This guy's busting up.
Right.
And he's just taking it out. You mother this, that, and hitting that, that block of ice and it's flying all around this guy. To me, that made me sit up, man. That was a great scene to me. I understand the rushed part of it.
Right.
But still, it brought me in, and I almost felt like I had to get in between the two of these guys. You know, it was like
that would have been good for him.
It wouldn't have been good for him. But I thought that was a powerful scene. I really liked that scene.
Yeah, no, I understand your point where Harry's doing his thing, but it just seemed, you know, from a narrative, it seemed rushed to me. It's like, let's get this exposition out real quick, and so we can explain what's going on.
I really want to know why this was going to get an X. Can you guys enlighten me? Do you know
that scene?
The love scene with him and his...
With the red rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Red
rain. I didn't know if it was that or nudity or if there was more... I mean, okay.
Isn't on Netflix? Isn't the whole... The original one on Netflix?
Is that what we watched?
We didn't watch the unrated.
With the 10 seconds?
That is. That's the... Yeah, they restored that. If you watch it on DVD, they restored it back to the DVD.
Did they?
Yeah, they only cut it out for theater.
So if that was made like now, do you think it would have an X rating? No, I mean, it seems.
I don't know.
No,
I doubt it.
It's one heck of a scene. You want to talk about that?
No, I want to talk about the ending.
Go ahead.
Because I didn't like the ending. I thought it just ended, then it just we're done. So explain why it's so good.
Why it's good to me? Well, first of all, look at Mickey Rourke in that scene. It looked like he'd been up for 6 days, and he's sitting there. I mean, just drenched in gumbo and sweat and funk and daughters and all kinds of
daughters.
And when he gumbo comes, sweat and
when
funk
he comes
and
up,
daughters.
In that exchange, to me, I mean, you've seen him one last gasp, desperately trying to hold on to this lie. I know you're trying to frame me. I didn't kill Fowler. I didn't kill those people. You're trying to frame me. You think just because you can scare some people, you're going to scare me? Well, I know who I am. And that whole scene and that dialogue with Rourke. And you can just see that grin coming up on De Niro's face like, no, I got you, son. But that, just the aesthetic of Rourke in that scene when he's screaming in that mirror and smashing and he holds those dog tags up. I don't care so much about how it was written or how rushed it was. The visuals in the exchange was some of the best I've seen. I loved that scene because of Rourke, especially in there.
Yeah, he's what killed the whole thing for me. I mean, back to the 80s thing, really. It just threw me out of it all the time.
Well, you know what the difference is? When I saw his hair like that, I thought it was sweat. You thought it was gel.
It is gel.
I thought it was sweat.
It's 80s gel. And it was straight up.
No, I'm
surprised he didn't have a flock of seagulls going on.
I don't know, man. That performance, especially at the end, I mean, he looked miserable. I mean, I think that what worked for me with him was you had to almost act from the soul. No pun intended here, but he did. I could feel him almost become Harry Angel. Especially in that last scene. My favorite scene in the film.
Okay. Not me.
But what do you want to talk about besides that?
Nothing. We had the egg thing. I like the egg thing. That's about the only thing I wrote down.
There's four scenes that we talked about with De Niro. Did the De Niro thing and the exchange between Rourke and De Niro work? Some people don't like that.
I liked De Niro in this a lot.
Did you?
I don't know if I wanted to see him more. I want to say that I would like to have seen him more, but I think one of the strengths of the movie is how little you see De Niro. That kind of makes him more ominous. My lips.
I'm with you on that too.
Ominous my lips.
You know what we need to do? Let's listen to De Niro right now. Let's listen to him play a little bit of Louis Cyphere, or is it Lucifer? Did I just give it away?
Spoiler.
It looks like our Johnny has found himself a perfect disappearing act.
Seems so.
Well, you know what they say about slugs.
No, what do they say about slugs?
They always leave slime in their tracks. You'll find them.
No, I won't find them. Hey, look, I took on a $125 a day missing persons job with you, all right? Now I'm a murder suspect. That's it. I'm out.
Are you afraid?
Yeah, I'm afraid.
You know, some religions think that the egg is the symbol of the soul. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Would you like an egg?
No, thank you. I got a thing about chickens.
There's a scene right there from Angel Heart, the film we're talking about, 1987. De Niro playing the devil, Lucifer. Could have been Marlon Brando.
You think those were press-on nails, or you think he actually
those are great
had
nails.
To grow those
He's
out.
A method actor. I bet he grew them.
Why does the I devil always
right. He grew his hair, too.
You're probably right.
He probably actually changed his eye.
He probably turned into the devil. At least went and hung out with him.
Anybody notice that De Niro played two parts in this film? The person that kept scrubbing the blood off the walls, and at the end when he's sitting out.
Yeah,
the,
that's him.
That's De Niro, man. Yeah, I stopped crazy. And rewound it and froze it.
Really?
Yeah, shaven. Clean shaven.
Does that mean the devil lurked around the corner the whole time?
He's always
taking
around.
Different forms.
I guess maybe he was the people, killing the people in the church.
Yeah, he has a lot of all kinds of really good stuff in here. And we'll talk about the scene that got Huxtable kicked off the show. Right. I think she was fired. Was it because of this, Max, that she was fired?
No, she was pregnant at the time.
No, she was pretty much, everybody pretty much except she was basically kicked off the Cosby Show because of this. I mean, this was huge news.
I know Bill Cosby said, please don't do this film, but you know, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a Coke and a smile, eat a Jell-O pop, right. And just chill out.
Wow.
Shut up.
Shut up, yeah. Put on your Cosby sweater. Adam, the Bomb Rogers, got to talk about. What do you want to get into?
What I want to really talk about is, did any of y'all notice that Johnny Favorite, Mickey Rourke, was dead up John Constantine?
I did catch that.
That's all I could think about watching this.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
John Constantine, Hellblazer.
Comic book.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And also the movie Constantine.
I need to see this because it's been brought up. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a decent flick.
I remember watching this as a kid.
I don't see the corollary, though.
In fact, I was a big fan of Hellblazer. I read it every week. And I was like, man, if they do a Hellblazer movie, they got to get Mickey Rourke. They got to get him to play it. And, of course, they didn't.
Huh.
It would have been better.
So you know what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. John Constantine, Hellblazer. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Hoodie, you said you had a little something you wanted to throw out there.
No, just speaking of he looks like Constantine, I thought that this movie took a lot of nods from Chinatown.
Yeah.
As far as obviously the noir, but in Chinatown, he gets his nose cut. And this one, he had the glasses on.
The nose shield.
Yeah. There was a lot of similarities. You talk about twists at the end, too.
Yeah.
So my
and the guy put that knife up to his nose too.
My mother, my sister, my sister.
When he fell over in the crab thing, and the crab.
Oh yeah,
Oh, he put the chicken foot up on his nose.
That's right. Did you notice how many things here looked authentic too? When he fell into those crabs, I'm like, dang, that guy just fell into some crabs.
Yeah, I think I saw him wincing too.
Yeah, wincing. And there's also a scene in Harlem where someone gets knocked off. They're carrying like the Pope of Harlem on that big chair.
Oh, his Rolls Royce.
That dude got knocked off the chair. And look at his back. He was out of wind laying on the ground. They went to some lengths to make things real in this film.
That was one thing I wanted to bring up. I noticed in the movie when they were at the church. What was his name? Reverend John or whatever? Did you notice what the sign behind him said?
What's that?
Reverend John is God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It literally said this guy was God. And he said, I want you to open your pocketbooks and open your wallets. If you think it's, y'all think I should be driving a Cadillac, I think I should be driving a Rolls Royce.
Yep.
I was like, oh, my God.
Send me your money.
And then they're carrying him through town on that chair. Like, what is
This thing is full of just this little bit of, you say noir, but just these sets and these scenes just seemed authentic. Hey, let's talk about Lisa Bonet, though. Let's get back into that. Her character, she played.
I could have made a real bad joke right there. I'm not going to do it.
Let's get back into that. We're going to end on a high note with this thing, but Epiphany Proudfoot. Great name.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
And boy, her kid shuts up when she tells him to be quiet. Did you pick that up?
She didn't even have to really forcefully tell
him. She said, be quiet. She had some kind of spiritual noose on him.
She's an angel.
What did you think about that? There's two scenes that Lisa Bonet went out on a limb for in this film. The sex scene, but also the chicken, pouring yourself in chicken blood scene, the voodoo stuff.
Scene. Yeah.
Any of that work for you?
Yeah, to a degree. Again, it's I spent a lot of time in southern Louisiana as a child, so it's not unfamiliar things, and it's not removed from reality either.
Yeah.
This really goes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never witnessed it as a child going on, but I do know people who have, and it's a real thing. Yeah, it totally worked. It totally worked. It seemed real, and it wasn't made more extravagant than what the reality of it is.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem forced in that way.
There was some restraint.
Now, the scene in the hotel room with the red rain, that's stylistic instead of realistic.
That was just confusing to me.
But it worked for me. It did. It set a flavor, man.
Lisa Bonet, in 87, the height of her beauty, just an absolutely stunning, stunningly beautiful woman at the time. Stunningly beautiful. You can't take your eyes off of her.
And I think what worked here was that you have that beauty and that innocence doing some very uninnocent things.
Yeah.
Once again, that contrast. What about you, Max?
Oh, did the voodoo stuff work? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did grow up in that area.
And you did your voodoo. And you did make dead white guy gumbo. Yeah.
Every black person I knew in that part of the country was a Baptist, so I didn't see any of that stuff going on. Because most people that practice voodoo are Catholics.
It's funny because there's a line in this film going, we ain't all Baptists down here. You know that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hoodie, talking about Lisa Bonet, because you say Angel Heart, people go, oh, that film that Lisa Bonet was in that ruined Cosby. Did you like her performance here?
Oh, yeah. I thought she was fantastic in this.
Mm-hmm. Did she seem like she was from the 80s?
Well, yeah. I guess so. Because I know Lisa Bonet from the 80s, so right. I guess that didn't help Rourke's thing. But, I stand by that. I think Rourke was straight out of the 80s in this.
Maybe it was
not of the 50s, I'll tell you.
Maybe it was just Moose. Maybe it was like Dapper Dan.
Yeah. Dapper Dan.
I'm done. Whatever. I'm not going to say it again.
But that
of the 80s.
Gotcha. Yeah. But that scene between him and Bonet, that seemed, once again, talk about realism. I don't know how they faked that one. Were you with me on that one? Because it's like, this is the one of the most unsettling scenes I've ever seen in a film. And it's not just because there's blood, but the way the blood fell, the way it came down, the way it hit the back, the way it hit the small of the back. It just, man, it just really set me back, man. And it does every time I see it. Did you get that kind of effect from that?
No, I didn't really like that scene.
I didn't either. I didn't think that was the X-rated scene. It's like,
that is the X-rated.
I figured it was, but I'm still watching it going, this isn't the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe people are getting fired over this.
What about when Mickey Rourke makes love to that chicken? That was the X-rated scene. I'm sorry.
That was after the credits.
That's the one they cut out. Said he had a problem with it.
He had a problem with chickens.
Hey, one more thing before we wrap this up, though. This does have some effects. Who did I talk to about this being really bad on the effects? The effects did
just
not hold well.
The eyes. Just the contacts were horrible.
Or the kids.
Yeah. I didn't think they were contacts. It looked like there was...
One thing I do say about the contacts, at least it wasn't the stupid, the electric 80s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The glowing eyes.
I feel like it
things.
Was that.
No, it looked more like animation to me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah. That it was the electric glowy things.
It looked like Excel cut and paste with that baby's head on
it. And that really killed it. I know for the time it was probably like, oh my God, that was crazy awesome. But now I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I know. And maybe that's why I kept it from going 10 because I kept thinking, come on, did you just literally run out of money for the last shot?
I have one quick point.
Yes.
At the beginning, I said there was a minor plot hole in here.
Your plot hole.
Cruise Mark and all of those people that were involved in the ceremony to turn Johnny into. Mm-hmm. Harold, wouldn't they have known?
Recognized him, you mean?
Well, I know he had plastic surgery, but he couldn't have had that much plastic surgery.
We're talking about voodoo. We're talking about the devil. I'm sure that when he ate the guy's soul, maybe he took on somewhat of his appearance. Let's just go with that.
I don't know.
That's what he did. He took on his appearance after he ate his heart.
Maybe I don't get this movie.
Yeah, but it was just, 12 years, 43 to 55.
I don't know. It just seems like
my
they would have recognized
the two merged in a different body. Is that right? Yeah, that's how I explained that away.
Yeah.
No, they kidnapped him in Times Square after the war.
Right, and then the two souls merged into his body, so they wouldn't have recognized the kidnapped guy.
I don't know.
That's how I explained
that. That's why
that.
I was a little confused.
His daughter didn't recognize him.
Well, yeah. I mean, so there you go.
Yeah, you know, and all those things that don't necessarily tie up to me, it fray just a bit. I'm okay with that because it's just so cool, and I love the gel in the hair. It's fantastic.
at least you're admitting it's gel.
Well,
it's gel.
And then the 50s fashion had kind of come back in the 80s, so that can be allowed.
He smoked a lot in this film. And that's 50s.
Cool matches he lit with his fingernail.
God, that is
cool. I do like that.
Those are awesome.
I do like that.
And then he lit one on
Fowler's
foot.
If you light a match off of a shoe, I'm in.
Yeah.
Teach me that trick.
All right, so there you go. There's our breakdown of 1987, Angel Heart. Angel Heart!
Yeah, it was Angel's Heart.
We were rating this thing with pinches of salt. We started out with how many?
40.
I'm staying with my 9 because I can't go 10 because of that baby's head at the end.
I'll stick with my 7.
Yeah.
You want to stick?
I'm going 9 still.
Let's stick.
What are you doing? Are you sticking?
7. I'll stay.
Okay. It stays at a 40.
All right. So it's currently streaming on Netflix Instant. I think we can say go ahead and watch it. Go ahead. Why not? Yeah. I mean, someone says, I'm going to watch Angel Heart. You're not going to say, why not? You can say, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Unless you got a thing about chickens. All right, guys. So let's do this. Let's get into our top 3 as we do every week. Top 3. Movie, devils, devilish characters, Lucifer's top 3.
Devils.
They
got to be from the bowels of hell. They can't just be devilish characters.
Right, the devils bowels of hell. Yeah. Take it any way you want. I say devils, go with it. Right.
No Dennis the Menace.
Right. I'll lead this one off.
Lead it.
Number 3. And I'm going to throw this out there. You guys can go, oh, look, this is a great depiction because of its ambiguity and because you don't know what this is. And the eyebrows were shaved. And I'm liking the devil from Passion of the Christ.
Never saw it.
Okay, this
creepy.
Devil.
Let me tell you something. It's not as good as Apocalypto for sure. That's in my opinion. I almost said Mel Brooks, Mel Gibson's. Yeah, Mel Brooks does Passion of the Christ. Please make that happen. Mel Gibson's film. Yeah, you can part ways with it, but that is a great depiction of what evil might look like. Totally freaked me out. It's burned in my brain. That's my number 3. Devil.
All right,
you devilish man, Savage. I'm going to go over to you. Number 3.
All right, I'm going with the devil and South Park, Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Damn.
That was an awesome devil.
That's an awesome devil.
He was the funniest devil.
Definitely the funniest.
Right. He was just misunderstood.
Yeah. You know?
He was almost a sympathetic devil.
All right, Hoodie. Number three. Let's get to you. We're talking about the top three movie demons, devils. Yeah, what's your number three?
I'm bashing James, but mine's no better. I picked Hellboy.
All right. Yeah.
Man, that's good, though.
But he doesn't want to be a demon. It's good. It's a nice contrast.
Yeah.
He's what like makes the character so interesting.
Yeah, he's like a nice guy stuck in a devil's body.
He's got that cool hand.
He likes cats.
Gun.
The gun.
And he likes cats.
And he's Ron Perlman.
Yeah, that's bonus points right there is Ron Perlman.
And he barely had to put on any makeup to play him.
Nope.
Right.
Hardly any. Just a fake set of cut off horns and a little red makeup. Done. Yeah. Probably took 20 minutes. Probably so. Right.
Max Gumbo Johnson, appropriate for tonight. Number three, movie devil. What is it?
Peter Stomeyer and Constantine.
Course.
Yeah.
With that white suit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Dripping tar.
Nice.
I can watch that guy in anything.
Good There's stuff.
Even those Dodge commercials or whatever those commercials he did were.
Dodge commercials. Adam, producer, number three, what?
Little silent movie from 1926, Faust.
Faust.
Faust. Faust.
However you want to say it.
No, it's pronounced Faust.
Yeah.
Faust.
I never even heard of this film. Is it all about
Mephisto.
The devil?
It's the original Sell Your Soul story, yeah. Faustus.
It's on Netflix, too, I think.
It is.
Uh-oh.
Does that mean that we have to watch this soon?
I'm not giving any hints.
Doesn't mean we have to.
It's pretty intense, man. It's really well done for 1929.
All right. This brings me to, you know what, this gets 26. Me to, is it 20, that long ago? 26?
Yeah. Ooh,
that's a long time ago. Yeah. I didn't know you could talk about things like devils in 1926.
It's Faustus, man.
I'll tell you what you can talk about right now, and that's my number two. You know what that is?
What's your number three?
You're number three.
Knucklehead.
I already told you. Oh, you're passing the number two. Oh, come on.
Now I'm a knucklehead.
Come on, knucklehead.
This guy's selling me out. Selling me out. Okay.
Almost had him.
Number two for me. Check this out. He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
All right.
Children of the Cane.
Children of the Cream Corn. Children of the Cream Corn. Now, that's the devil, isn't it? Wasn't He Who Walked Behind the Rose? Come on.
Yeah.
I would say so. Why not?
Thinking outside the box.
Yeah, you like that, don't you? Yeah, you do.
I do. I dig it.
Darn right you do.
Yeah. All right.
With authority. I'm going over to the Hearts Up Savage. Right. Blow my mind, dude. What you got?
Viggo Mortensen in The Prophecy.
God, that's a good one.
He freaked me out when, you know, because he's so good looking and he's, you know, you would think the devil's going to be looking. And then when he looks at the guy and he's like, I love you more than Jesus. It just freaks me out.
Yikes.
That freaks me out.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to sit next to him now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Viggo Mortensen, The Prophecy.
What's your number two?
I can't believe it hasn't been said yet. I think probably because everybody's holding out for number one, you got to go Legend.
Okay. Tim Curry.
It's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Iconic, actually. I would say that's one of the most iconic
Also,
devils.
It was written by the same guy who wrote this. Legend was written by the same guy who wrote Angel Heart.
Is it really?
Yeah.
William Hertzberg?
Yeah.
It's Hertzberg.
Good to know stuff.
He wrote the book?
Wow.
Also,
look at
Tim
the
Curry Tim Curry didn't have to put much makeup on either for that.
Just a couple of horns and some red paint.
Yep, that's all it did.
The Hellboy prototype.
I bet you if he filed the horns down, he would be.
He would be Hellboy.
Right.
All right, so what are you going with, Adam, number two?
Whoa.
Oh, you guys are just not connecting at all.
Nope, you
said
me first.
Oh, wait, did I miss you? Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm going.
Listen,
going.
I'm multitasking. I'm trying to look at notes.
No, I'm going Damien from The Omen.
He just put a stomping on it.
I had to do it.
I'm sorry, Gumbo. I didn't mean to overlook you.
That's okay. That's no problem.
That was the devil's son.
Yeah, Damien, man. Of course. The devil's son. That's close enough.
Right.
That's close enough. Yeah, the
great.
Devil.
That kid was creepy.
He did as a kid. That creeped me out, man. When he stabbed that woman on the fence.
Oh,
but when he pushed the maid out of the window.
That's what he never pushed her. She jumped.
Well, she jumped. Okay.
She was happy to do it, too.
All for you, Damien.
Yeah. Hi, Damien. Blonk.
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 What about you, Gumbo, number two?
Cut that dude's head off with a plate of glass.
That was a great accident.
That was a great accident.
Yeah. There are no accidents when Satan's involved. I'm going to tell you that. Number two, the gypsy woman and Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, goodness.
Was she really
well,
a demon,
I don't know.
Yeah, she was a demon, for crying out loud. It was called Drag Me to Hell.
What a great film.
And she was definitely possessed or something. You don't just fly around a car like that without something inside of you. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I've tried.
You've tried? Yeah. You've tried putting something inside of you inside a car?
That's not what I said.
He's lit candles and asked for it.
Yeah.
When I tell people,
and I was in a minivan, I had plenty of room.
Yeah,
okay. Nothing happened.
Right.
When I tell people I like that film just as much, if not more, than Evil Dead, they look at me like I'm crazy. I'll say it anyways.
Yeah, crazy.
What are we up to? Number ones?
You're number one.
I'm going to go with South Park. I'm going to default to that. That's my number one. You already said it. I'm not going to change, though.
No, it's a great devil.
I'm not letting you steal my thunder.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, South Park, because of just the fact that it took the devil and made him completely unique.
I will follow suit. I ain't letting Hoodie steal my thunder. It's Tim Curry in Legend. He's the best.
I knew somebody would say number one.
He's the best looking.
That's funny, though, because mine's actually Max's.
Shut up.
Constantine. That's the best right. Best devil.
I love that.
Number one. Best. I mean, the tar dripping, and then he just floats down into it. I was like, oh, my God, that scares me. It gives me chills. I love it.
What about you, Gumbo?
Number one, Adam's number two.
Number one, movie devil inspired by the film we talked about, which is Angel Heart in 1987.
I got to go with Pazuzu from The Exorcist.
Oh, thank God somebody did.
It's got to be done.
Absolutely.
God, I thought about that. I didn't know how to play that in. Did they have a name? Pazuzu?
Pazuzu, that was his name.
How the hell did you come up with this?
Well, they asked him. It in the movie.
He asked him.
It's one of my favorite films. I don't remember.
That was the guy in the minivan with me. Okay. I said, no, you're not a teenage girl. I'm not going there.
My van has no windows. Sure. Fine.
Look, I've been out of the Exorcist game for a while now.
But I got candy. He was like, well, it's kind of tempting. I got candy.
Do you have a number one for you?
I am ready to go.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know I can.
Yeah. What's your
number one? Number one, what is it there, Adam?
Angels to some, demons to others. The Cenobites and Leviathan from Hellraiser.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I forgot about those.
Yeah, what's Leviathan. The best one? You got to pick
the
one.
The best one? Oh, come on.
Pinface.
Yes, Pinface.
I will slap you for that. What? It's Pinhead.
Oh, sorry. He had pins on his face. What do you call him? Okay.
It should have been Pinface.
But my favorite was Chatterjaw.
It's Chatterjaw. Yeah, Chatterjaw is a good one.
Oh, Chatterjaw is a good one.
That's
yeah.
A good impression.
Yeah. What about Front Butt? Was he good in that too? Or okay, we'll move on.
Standpoint was good too.
Thanks. Let's talk about Twitter. We put this out on Twitter. That's fine. We'll be all right there. We put this out on Twitter as we all do. As we do every week. To see what kind of responses we get back. Check this out. At Kev Dillon 316. Al Shouty Pacino. And Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, he's good.
I think because he just shouts in the whole thing. De Niro and Angel Heart. I love it when they come back with the film that inspired the whole thing. Bobby H. at Kid Minneapolis says, Billy Zane in Tales from the Crypt. Our spokesgirl came into the queue tonight, and she dropped by. She says, Kelly O'Neill at Kelly Uane. Jack Nicholson in The Witches of Eastwick.
I thought about that one.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
I thought about that one. It was good. On my list.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jack Nicholson once in his career needs to play the devil. I mean, it has to happen.
Probably played it multiple times.
Here's the one I like. At ROA Sender, Rosender, says Dave Effing Grohl in The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
All right.
Not bad.
You want to give F stands for Foo Fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Foo Fighter.
I like how he spelled Effing too. EFFIN. Dave Effing Grohl. I'm going to give him the gold star. Good answer. Kyle Hall at Marvelous Zombie 616 says, don't forget Elizabeth Hurley in Bedazzled. Or George Burns in Oh God, You Devil.
Oh, yeah. She was the best looking devil, I have to say.
No Roseanne Barr love. No She Devil.
She Devil. I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
It's because people have mostly forgotten that.
Keep waiting.
You have any kind of honorable mentions, Max, or you want to just get on with it?
Pumpkinhead and the thing from Jeepers Creepers.
Okay. Okay, guys. So let's go ahead and wrap it up. There you go. That is the our review, our breakdown. Of the 1987 film Angel Heart, starring Mickey Rourke, Lisa Bonet, directed by Alan Parker. And that brings us to next week's big reveal.
Hey,
and that goes over to Max Gumbo Johnson for the next one. What is it going to be?
Ichi the Killer.
Ichi the Killer. Ichi the Killer?
No, Ichi.
Ichi, like Ichi with an E-C-H-I?
I-C-H-I.
That's not how you spell itch.
It means one.
It's a Japanese word.
Oh.
You're insulting our Asian listeners right now.
Yes. By a director we've already talked about.
You know Kashi he's only Mickey. 5'4".
The 5'4".
Did you know
four
that he's 5'? How does he look in the camera?
I have no idea. He is as a box.
He's a giant of a man.
Yeah. So Takashi Miike strikes again.
Yep, he does.
But this was Angel Heart, and we are the Q Film Cast. Thanks, as always, for coming on in. If you want to offer us your thoughts on this film or any film that we've discussed in the past, just go to our website, theqfilmcast.net. We're always happy to hear from you. And we'll be happy to do this again next week. Ichi, the killer. We'll see you then. Good night.